Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Fun show coming up today. Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle will join us. Talk about the Penn State side of things. And Dan Duggan from NJ.com. Beat writer for Rutgers football is going to join us at 4:06 today. And being the beat writer for Rutgers these days is not an easy thing to do. And the reason it is not an easy thing to do is that you're now covering things that you didn't expect to be covering. That's the issue. You know, when you sit down to take a job in sports and You talk about personalities, about players, about coaches, about strategy, about games. You don't expect to be talking about seven guys getting arrested in an 11-day span. And that's not easy when that's not the beat you cover. And he's had to do that, as have the other Rutgers beat writers, just like Penn State beat writers had to cover things that they certainly weren't used to covering 4 years ago and over the last 3 years as well. It's just not an easy thing to do when you are thrown out of your comfort zone. I have always said, and I've maintained this my entire career, is that you can't have sports people covering news, and you can't have news people covering sports. Every time I watch a news person delve into sports, the comfort level is so off kilter. And to be frank with you, most of them don't know what they're talking about. I just sit there and say, why did they have you do this? You know, who thought in the back room this was a good idea? Well, conversely, the same thing with sports people trying to do news. I mean, for example, you just heard Jennifer Wakeman do the news on our station. Jennifer Wakeman's going to do an exponentially better job of covering news and not only in presenting it than I ever would. And conversely, we wouldn't expect her to come on and do, you know, this show and talk about Penn State football. It's, you know, you do end up, you know, obviously in smaller situations, you have to specialize. I mean, smaller situations, you can't specialize. I understand that. You have to be a jack of all trades, especially early in your career. You have to be like that. But for the New Jersey beat writers who cover Rutgers, they've had to double up and find out what definitions of simple assault happen to be versus assault and, armed robbery and the various charges that they've been hit with. They've had seven players arrested in 11 days, including the team captain, Levante Carew. And Carew was officially arrested yesterday. He really is Rutgers' best player. But this, you know, as for the game itself, it doesn't matter. What does matter is just going out and getting the job done on Saturday nights, the Big Ten opener. And I don't care who they run out there. I mean, you have to do it. James Franklin in his press conference today said he is hopeful, not assured of it, but a hopeful on Grant Haley, Brandon Bell, and Andrew Nelson. We will find out as the week goes whether that hope is warranted or not. But obviously Nelson got hurt during the game. It didn't look good when it happened. But I've also seen him hurt other times where it didn't look good when it happened, and then he ended up playing that week. So, I mean, I'll keep an open mind on that one. Bell and Haley have been out the first two games of the year. Getting Haley back will help a lot, if he can make it, because that would give you that corner that can play really well. John Reed's just a freshman, and I think he's done well for a freshman. Christian Campbell, to be honest with you, Christian Campbell struggled a little bit. And it would probably be best for him right now to be in that number two role and get Haley back out there. Bell just is the instinctive feel linebacker you want to have. Von Walker plays with a lot of guts out there. Brandon Bell plays with pure natural instinct. And to get him back in combination with Reeder and Kabinda would really help. So we will see how that part plays out. We'll talk to Dan Duggan about the quarterback situation. The running backs for Rutgers, really good, by the way. Josh Hicks, Martin, and Paul James, all three really, really good. They are actually in great shape there with their offensive line. Darius Hamilton, whom I consider to be Rutgers' best offensive lineman, you know, even though Kamoko Ture is really good, especially off the edge. But Darius Hamilton, who's an outstanding defensive tackle of this group, probably will not make it in the ball game. Let's get you up to date on what's going on. The Pirates are playing today as they take on the Chicago Cubs, part of a day-night doubleheader. And the Pirates in the bottom of the fifth lead the Cubs 4-1. And they will play again tonight. This is to make up for a game that had been rained out earlier in the year, so it's a day-night separate admission doubleheader at PNC Park. It is the only afternoon game, and the Pirates lead it 4-1. That game is in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Gerrit Cole is in cruise control right now, and Jason Hamill has already been chased out of the game for the Cubs. So that's where we are on that at this time. And other than that, let's see. A couple of other headlines for you. They say that Jason Pierre-Paul not only misses part of his index finger, but also is missing part of his thumb now from that fireworks accident trying to overcome. Steve Patterson, the athletic director at Texas, fired after 22 months on the job. Let's see here. Nothing else really on the docket so far. One thing very quickly on the Patriots story last week with the Steelers. It gets blown out of proportion because it's the Patriots, and it gets blown out of proportion here because it's the Steelers, but there is a bottom line to it. And the bottom line is that communication problems happen all the time in the NFL and happen all the time in college football. It's just the way it is. We've never had a complaint of anybody listening to our broadcast. For all we know, they actually enjoyed our broadcast. That's why they didn't complain. I don't know. But we've had communication problems with our sideline person as time goes because there is what is referred to as so much RF interference in there. And I'll tell you right now where most of the RF interference comes from. The RF interference, for the most part, comes from the TV guys. And certain TV networks bring with it more RF interference than others. And there have been times we've had trouble hooking up with our sideline people because of the interference in there from the TV networks, just on what band they're on. So, I mean, it happens. Now, that's not a very sexy story. It's not as much fun, to tell that story as it is to just say that the Patriots did something nefarious and the Steelers are mad about it. That's a much more fun story to talk about. But we don't have a curious, not so sure we have a curious media anymore, where the experienced guys, yeah. I mean, when you put on like an Ed Bouchette, somebody like, I mean, you know, the guys that have been around the block, guys have been around the block, have some chops. I mean, they get it. You talk to them. I mean, they're great. some of the younger reporters, it's just more fun to do it the other way. And at ESPN, it's just more fun to complain about stuff because, you know, it's better for ratings. And I don't want an operation that's better for ratings. I want an operation that just tells me what's going on. You'd be shocked at how that actually is better for ratings. Eagles lost last night, beaten by the Falcons. Sam Bradford, very mixed reviews in the opening game. And the 49ers won last night. So it was not the start the Eagles had hoped for. You're playing at Atlanta. Takeaways led to points. You got Dallas coming in this week. And DeMarco Murray did not get off to what you would call a LeSean McCoy-like flying start. There's no doubt that every one of these moves, Bradford at quarterback, Murray at tailback, maybe not so much Matthews at wide receiver, because I mean, he was already there. I mean, you know, he was just drafted afterward. But when you look at Bradford at quarterback and Murray at tailback, that's going to be scrutinized more than any two moves in the NFL this season. No two moves are going to be scrutinized more. The DeSean Jackson ship sailed a year ago. LeSean McCoy and Nick Foles are both out of there. So you're going to find that there's going to be heavy scrutiny. And did Eagle fans miss LeSean McCoy last night in key spots? I bet many of you did last night, as opposed to Murray. We will take a break. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
At Seelands Grove Ford, they know those other guys always say a lot about what they'll do for you before the sale. But how many times do they forget your name after you buy the vehicle? You'll never get that at Seelands Grove Ford. They've been in business for over 60 years because they know how to treat people right. They really care about you and your total car buying experience. They know how to sell you the car you want to buy, not the vehicle they want to sell you. Mr. Sharpie's always there for the sharp pencil deal, and you'll never hear screaming going on in the background. Plus, you can't beat their quick lane for expert service where you don't need an appointment. They do all kinds of service on all makes, all models, fast, friendly, and reliable. From oil changes to state inspections, brakes and alignments, and much more. Get it done right, and get it done right now at Seelands Grove Ford's quick lane. So come to the place where you feel at home. The place sponsoring the Penn State ticket giveaway. Seelands Grove Ford at the bridge in Seelands Grove.
Flo from Progressive here on a road trip with Bob, who owns a dry cleaning service.
Well, it's not really a road trip. We're only going a mile.
In a mile, you can save money under commercial auto insurance with discounts like Safe Driver, Business Experience, and Paid in Full.
Nice.
So, expert to expert, how would you get a large mustard stain out of white cotton?
Why?
Just planning out our road snacks.
We're only going a mile, Flo.
I can eat a lot of hot dogs in a mile, Bob.
Good point.
Discounts to save your business money. Visit Progressive.com to learn more. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Guys, when you buy your clothes at DXL, you look good. But you feel like a rock star. So if you want to look and feel like a... You'll find all the brands you love, waist size 38 and up, all in one awesome store. DXL, you're looking good. Right now, Harbor Bay cargo shorts are just $39.99 each when you buy two or more.
What can $8 get you these days? A lot when you visit the Gratz Fair September 20th through the 26th. Just $8 includes your parking, midway stage shows, and most of the carnival rides and main stage shows. Daily midway shows include Middle Earth Studios with storytelling and more, the Teeny Weeny Circus, Kiefer and Gabby Quandel, the Outlaws and Crazy Elmer, Shotgun, Glenn Miller's Big One Man Band, Shelby Nessler and Make Mine Country, and Shannon. All at this year's Gratz Fair. Find more at gratzfair.net.
All right, welcome back. Kevin out today. He'll be back tomorrow. And Shikellamy has Sealands Grove this week. We're going to have Dan Duggan on today from NJ.com. We're going to have him on at 4:06 today to talk about everything that has gone on at Rutgers. They've had 7 arrests in the last 11 days. So, obviously, they've had to make a lot of adjustments, especially in the secondary. That's where they've been hit the hardest. And we'll have Rich Scarcella on the next half hour to talk about the Penn State-Buffalo game and his thoughts on the Nittany Lions through 2 games. So that's what we have scheduled today. It looks like we're pointed toward Merrill Reese for tomorrow's show, which is good, and talk about the Eagles. Thursday we'll have our high school roundup with our announcers, Milton, Lewisburg, Sealands Grove, and Shikellamy. And we'll have the announcers on to talk about their respective games. Turns out that Schick is playing at Sealands Grove on Friday night, and Sealands Grove's off to a very good start. So, and so is Lewisburg. Lewisburg's off to a really good start, too. So they will do that on Thursday, and then Friday, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, among others, joining us on the show. I know we're trying to do something to maybe get Matt Millen. We will find out if we can get that, because Matt will be doing the game this week. Matt is doing the game with Kevin Kugler this week. That's the primetime game on BTN. So Cougs and Matt will both be doing that game. And I think Lisa Byington's the sideline announcer. So that's what we have coming up this week as we get ready for Penn State and Rutgers. Rutgers wants very much for this to be a rivalry game. I understand that from their point of view completely. You get in, you know, Rutgers has somewhat wandered in the wilderness for a long time. Getting into the Big East Football Conference helped them. It gave them a home, which was really good. And that at least gave the program that, you know, being an independent did not help Rutgers. Simple as that. Getting into a conference helped them. And then when Greg Schiano got there, they were able to start getting to bowl games, and that helped as well. And Kyle Flood actually has gone to a bowl game in each of his first 3 years. But then you go into the Big Ten, and it's a whole new ball game in this conference. It's very much like when Penn State was in the Atlantic 10 in basketball. It got to the point in the Atlantic 10 in basketball that Penn State became one of the top teams. It was Penn State, Temple, UMass, at that stage, in, you know, Rutgers GW, that was, quote, the upper crust of the Atlantic 10. UMass was just starting to come on with John Calipari as the coach. Rutgers had been good the entire time. West Virginia always wanted out. Every time I turned around, West Virginia wanted out of the Atlantic 10. They wanted out. This is back in the days when they had the old Metro Atlantic Conference. Louisville was in the Metro. And the West Virginia fans kept screaming over and over, we should be in the Metro. I mean, so they wanted out. And then Penn State, of course, went to the Big Ten. Well, when we went to the Big Ten, they went from being one of the better teams in the Atlantic 10 to now having to fight their way up in the Big Ten. And that's where Rutgers is football-wise. Rutgers have become one of the better teams in the Big East. Not the best, but one of the better ones. They had that big game with Louisville in the stadium that one night that was really emotional and huge and so forth. But they've become one of the better teams in the Big East. Well, they're not that in their own division in the Big Ten right now. And we'll see. You know, they want very much for this to be a rivalry game. Their rivals in the old Big East, yeah, Syracuse, Pitt, yeah, to a point. I mean, Temple, now. They really want something and feel like having a big rival would be a big boost for them in the conference. Completely understand that from their point of view. It's not buying with the Penn State side of it. A good rivalry is one where each side has picked up not just a pelt along the way, but several on each side. Memorable games that have gone back and forth where, you know, the meaning of it is incredibly deep. Penn State obviously has had that rivalry for a period of time with Pitt. From 74 to 84, Penn State had that with Pitt. But times change. Penn State used to have to play every year down at Forbes Field and Three River Stadium. Rarely played at Beaver Stadium. Then they finally started playing a little home and away because times changed. Well, Penn State tried to form an all-sports conference. Pitt said no, went to the Big East in basketball, which is a great move for Pitt basketball, no doubt. Then Penn State went to the Big Ten. Times changed. Well, you have to do things with some foresight and some savvy along the way. Because Pitt didn't have foresight or savvy in the big picture for college football or the patience. No offense, but can't keep making up for somebody else's mistakes.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KIA Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It is great to have you with us. Next half hour, Dan Duggan from NJ.com, the beat writer who covers Rutgers football. And unfortunately for him, has had to cover much more than just football in the last 2 weeks. That's seven players arrested in 11 days. It's not easy for a sports person to suddenly have to cover news, just like it's not great for a news person to cover sports. It just doesn't work. Rich Scarsella, veteran beat writer, Reading Eagle, joins us on the show. Highly respected, especially by the person who sits in this chair right here. Rich, welcome. Great to have you with us again.
Afternoon, Steve.
All right. Safe to say better and played a good game in your estimation?
Better. Good game, good second half. I wouldn't go good game totally. Right. I would say somewhere in between, like kind of, you know, 50-50 there. But progress was made. I think on both sides of the ball, actually. I thought the defense with Jason Kabind in the middle was a big improvement over the defense after Naeem Wortman White got hurt last week at Temple. Progress. But I think, as James Franklin noted and several players noted, Penn State has to get better.
Yeah, and that starts this week because you have your conference opener this week. No matter how, quote, wounded they may be by suspensions, this is still another one that, you know, they have to go out and get. What are your thoughts on the Rutgers situation as we look at it from the outside looking in?
I hate to say this without knowing all the details, but it just doesn't look good at all for Kyle Flood. It just doesn't. I think it's if Leonte Crew, excuse me, their top receiver who was suspended indefinitely last night, is arrested, that's seven in recent months. Seven Rutgers players. That's just too many. And I know a couple columnists in New Jersey have called for his firing, Kyle Flood's firing. I think it's a mess right now. And frankly, I just don't know how they ignore the distractions. I'm talking about the coaches and the players.
Right. I mean, when the practice field or the building is invaded by police one day, that's not a good thing.
It just from the outside, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good. And, you know, I think somebody wrote this, and I agree. You know, you can't expect football coaches to babysit 120 players, but there's a tone that has to be set. And if you look at what's going on there, it doesn't seem like the tone has been set.
What does when you watch Barkley, what do you see in Saquon Barkley?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Steve. I'm trying to think of somebody, a Penn State running back, with the combination of speed, explosiveness, and power. And the one that comes to my mind, and I'm not saying he's going to have the kind of career this guy had at Penn State? I'm thinking Kajana Carter.
Right, that's who I thought of.
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking. I can't think of anybody with that combination. Now, maybe I'm missing somebody, but I thought about this on the drive home Saturday night. I can't think of anybody else besides Kajana. I mean, between now and Kajana's career. I was very impressed, but of course, you know, you like you have heard and you've seen. I haven't seen, but Saquon Barkley. That's all that you've heard about since he arrived on campus from the players and kind of veiled references by the coaches. So I wasn't surprised, but that was pretty impressive Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, he went out there and did his job. And what I think what impresses his teammates is that he's a rather humble kid. And I think that really, I think it's one of the reasons that helped, you know, his talent, mm-hmm. along with his demeanor, I think helps them embrace him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that his teammates like him and respect him and are glad he's on the field. I got that feeling talking after the game to whether it was Christian Hackenberg or Anthony Zettel and others. I think they're very very impressed with Mr. Barkley.
How'd you feel about Christian Hackenberg's game?
I thought he threw the ball really well.
Yeah.
He received terrific protection, and you know, I made a point of saying that on Twitter. I don't think he got knocked down, Steve. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't recall him getting knocked down.
No. I think he got two. Yeah. I think he had two total hits on him the entire game where there was contact on him, and that was it.
But I mean, Buffalo has a young defense, and I don't want to go
exactly
crazy here, but I think it's pretty obvious when he has time, he's going to find receivers. And his stats were obviously misleading. You know, Mike Gesicki's two drops on that drive in the second half, and then the interference penalty when he hit, I thought, threw his best pass of the day, perfect pass to Chris Godwin, and, you know, the cornerback was holding on to Godwin's arm, and the interference was called. So I think his statistics are misleading from Saturday. And I just think the people who think he's the cause of whatever ails the Penn State offense aren't watching the same game that I'm watching.
I opened the show and I said I felt he managed the game really well, and he didn't let high points get too high, and he didn't let low points get to him in any way, shape, or form. That's how I viewed it. I don't know if you saw the same thing.
I thought the same thing, but I thought he threw the ball well.
Yes, I did too. Yeah. He only had one ball slip out of his hands.
Yeah. I mean,
that was
going to happen on a day like Saturday.
And that's going to happen on a day like Saturday. I thought he threw the ball very well on mm-hmm. Saturday. And you can do that when you feel you can stand there and you can make plays because the line in front mm-hmm. of them made sure that whatever combination Buffalo tried to throw at them, they could handle.
Well, here's the other part of this equation. It was no coincidence that Penn State was able to throw the ball downfield when Saquon Barkley played in the second half. And that shows you how much he's going to have to play. He's going to have to play a significant amount of time. And James Franklin said that. He's going to have a significant role on this team. When you have that kind of weapon in the backfield, the defense has to respect that, and then they're gonna crowd. Maybe they crowd the box, maybe not. But the other thing, part of the equation, is they got to get the ball downfield to Chris Godwin and whoever right. other receivers too. But Chris Godwin is the guy, I think, the real deep threat that Penn State has right now. I think that's pretty clear, and I think that's going to be an important thing going forward as well.
What about the jump you saw in the return game on Saturday?
Well, even in the first game, even against Temple, that was one of the few bright spots was the return game. And I think that's a real positive sign. And I don't know I try not to be influenced by anybody, any other people covering the team writing. So I don't know if anybody else wrote this, but I'm guessing they did. But I wrote today that the game was pretty unremarkable, and it might be forgettable in a couple of years, mm-hmm. except it might be the beginning of a new era at Penn State. I don't recall, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't recall Penn State having this many fast offensive weapons at the same time. I'm trying to think in my head. And that includes Nick Scott. That includes DeAndre Tompkins. It includes Mark Allen. Obviously, Saquon Barkley. And includes the two freshman receivers who haven't even played yet.
Right. Yeah.
Mike, what do you think on that?
Well, I can't recall that either. And I also have to include the guys on defense that can run.
Yeah.
Because I think it goes beyond just what you see at a skill spot. You haven't really Haley hasn't played yet this year, but think of the speed Haley brings to the table, the quickness that Reeder and Kabinda bring to the linebacking spots.
Good point.
And the speed off the edge. I don't know if there's been a defensive tackle or a combination of tackles, and Penn State's had some great combinations. They're as quick as A.J. and Zettelar and Nassib off the edge. I think it's more the way it's spread across the board than it is concentrated in skill spots. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I would agree with you. You know, I'm just saying, look at the group of skill people, and I didn't even mention Deshaun Hamilton.
Right.
And say Saeed Blacknall, and, you know, you're like, my goodness, I just don't remember Penn State having this many fast players, and maybe at the skill position. But you're right. I mean, there's speed across the board. It's definitely a big improvement in team speed. So that's going to be something going forward. And
now it's just a question of it growing up.
Right. Exactly. And maybe the time, the sooner these guys play, and they're obviously a lot of them are playing, and they maybe grow up sooner than we think.
Right.
We'll see.
Do you feel this is a week-by-week proposition and you're not going to get too far ahead of yourself as to where they're going because of the youth and the development of it?
Well, that and the offensive line. And even though the offensive line deserves credit, played well, but now you may have lost Andrew Nelson, who I think is their best offensive lineman, for an extended period of time. Maybe not. We'll find out, hopefully, tomorrow.
Right.
And that could be a big blow. So I'm going to wait, and I'm going to take it week by week. Yeah. That's how I'm going to look at it.
And I think all of us feel that way. You just take it week by week and see. But there are certain signs that bear watching that, with some experience, could suddenly change some mindsets.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And I think, Steve, I think this game, I think, this is a game that Penn State has to win. And I don't mean that as a must-win, but I think this is a really, really important game for Penn State. Yeah. Not only is it your conference opener, you're playing a team that looks like it's in disarray. And you're playing at night in front of what should be a sellout crowd. I think this is a really, really important game at this point in James Franklin's program. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, if they lose, it's over. But I think this is really important.
But if they win it, you feel like they've taken a step forward in what they're doing with the program. I think that's.
Yeah.
I think I know exactly where you're going with that. It's not the be all end all, but you may look back on it a few years from now and say, "Yeah, we saw the fruits of it really starting to come into the form, starting with that weekend."
Yes, that's sort of what I'm trying to say. Yes.
Yes. As always, my friend, it is great to talk with you. I will see you on Saturday.
My pleasure, Steve.
That's Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. Next half hour, Dan Duggan from NJ.com. And we'll talk about some of the issues that Rutgers is having. The Cubs have closed the gap to 4-3. On the Pirates in the sixth inning, and they're still threatening. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Safe Hunting PA in a minute. Brought to you by Ram.
Being a great hunter requires a lot of skill and a commitment to safety. Hunting for a great truck, however, only requires tracking down your nearest Ram dealer. That's because Ram 1500 is the only truck with an available class-exclusive EcoDiesel engine that gets up to 29 miles per gallon highway and can haul 9,200 pounds. See your local Ram dealer today. Guts. Glory. Ram. Class-based and light-duty pickups. EPA estimated 29 mpg highway based on HFE EcoDiesel V6 4x2. Actual results may vary. Towing capacity when properly equipped.
The fall means archery hunting season, and the Pennsylvania Game Commission urges hunters to consider these safety tips. Inspect your bow and arrows for damage prior to use. Carry broadhead tipped arrows in a protective quiver and never walk with a knocked arrow or bolt. Keep crossbows pointed in a safe direction and keep your thumb and fingers away from the string. Properly identify your target. Always make sure someone knows where you're hunting and when you expect to return. For more information, log on to PennsWilds.com.
Susquehanna Smart Drive wants you to stay safe on the roads.
Hi, I'm Megan Federoff from Beavertown. Susquehanna Smart Drive promotes safe driving habits for teens and young adults. We want to make sure new drivers are safe drivers. Being well rested and adopting the proper mindset to drive and feeling physically well are all important to driving. Eat properly and don't drive if you're upset. Keep calm, drive smart, and you will arrive alive.
Proud supporters of Susquehanna Smart Drive, Zimmerman's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Truck, and WKOK.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you were Kobe Bryant and you knew you were going to retire at the end of a season, would you announce before or would you let it play out? Would you go Jeter or would you see what happens?
The Jeter thing got ridiculous. There were nice moments there, but for the most part, you know, you're like getting a canoe from the Buccaneers or something, or cowboy boots from the Rangers. Like, it just became kind of silly.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app. Join the discussion about news, sports, and more by following News Radio 1070 WKOK on Facebook. You'll get breaking news updates, plus stories where you can weigh in with your opinions. Follow the news and let your voice be heard. Plus, win prizes on our Facebook-only contests. Follow us on Facebook today and join the discussion with News Radio 1070 WKOK.
News Radio 1070 WKOK. We are Penn State.
Wins left side, breaks free. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones. The Nittany Lions play their Big Ten opener Saturday night in Beaver Stadium. Join Jack Ham, Joe Putnam, and me for the call beginning at 6:30.
Nittany Lions football on WKOK is sponsored in part by Sealands Grove Ford and Dynamic Wings and Subs.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Dan Duggan, NJ.com, next half hour to talk about the Rutgers situation to the minute. In the end, you know, have they lost some talented players? Yes, there's no question, especially Carew. He's the best player that they have in the team. But Kamoko Touré, for example, he's playing in the game. Steve Longo's going to be in the game. That offensive line, they haven't lost one of them, including J.J. Denman, whom I think is really, really good. Not having Darius Hamilton to an injury, and it sounds like he's been ruled out of this week's game, that doesn't help either. And it looks like the Cubs, have they come back and they tied the Pirates? Indeed they have. It is 4-4
in the bottom of the sixth inning. They've chased Gerrit Cole. So, again, the ace of the Pirates has been chased and has won very few games since the All-Star break. But they still have players. Jadarian Grant having a great year. The three running backs, Hicks, Martin, James, all really good. Hamilton, the tight end, is really good. I mentioned Longo. I mentioned Torrey. Shafi, the safety, really good. Federico, the kicker. So it's not, you know, they've lost players, most of them in one spot. They've lost, most of them are defensive backs. Jaleel Pollard is a defensive lineman. And, of course, now Carew at wideout. So we will see how this plays out for them. I would think getting up on them early and getting the crowd really engaged would be a huge part of this. And I know that James Franklin talked about being hopeful about getting Haley and Bell back. Bell just is really good. You put him out there in space, especially with the running game that they have. You put him out there in space, the way he can blitz, the way he can cover the field, his instincts with which he plays with. Huge plus to go with the two kids, Kabinda and Reeder. And then you get Haley finally back at that corner. That would help. Reed's a true freshman who does some good things, but makes a couple of freshman mistakes. Campbell is still trying to feel his way through it. And Campbell's been a little bit up and down at that corner the start of the season. Getting Haley back, I think, would really help. And then we'll find out about Nelson. They're hopeful about Nelson, but we'll see how the week plays out. We'll see how the week plays out. And we'll take your calls today as well, and we'll do that primarily in the final half hour. We can always do that anytime, but if you have any questions, you can certainly do that. I was interviewed today for the Rutgers pregame show. And they asked me about Rutgers run defense and Penn State trying to counter that. And I said to the host, I said, how do you know how good Rutgers run defense is? You played Norfolk State and you play Washington State. Washington State doesn't run. He said, well, that's true. I said, so how do you know? You don't know. You got to get in there. You got to get tested. You got to get your nose dirty. Saquon Barkley is obviously a different kind of deal out there for Penn State. And different based on recent times. That explosion. I agree with Rich. You know, I was trying to, I've watched Barkley now for 5 weeks. And in watching him for 5 weeks, it was a bit, maybe six now, watching him for 6 weeks, I've had people say to me, you and Jack didn't sound surprised by what you saw. And I said, no, that's because that's exactly what we've watched for weeks out of him. That's what we've seen. So we weren't that surprised. And I finally got a chance to talk with him. And I agree with Rich, by the way. I was trying to think who he reminds me of. Now, you make this comparison, you're putting him in such lofty company. I mean, after only, what, a couple games. But in terms of build and style, he gives you that Kajana Carter feeling. Now, we'll find out how it plays out in his career. But you can see how he runs. He's a cut above. I had a chance for the first time to really talk with Saquon Barkley on Sunday. Humble kid. Very down to earth. Gives Lynch a lot of credit. I mean, he kept coming back to Lynch. He kept saying, Steve, Lynch has helped me so much. He said, getting the playbook, little subtle things. He said, that really has allowed me to get off to a good start. And the other part, too, he says, look, I've only had one game. He said, I've had one good game. So the hurdle thing, he said, the guy was just in my way. He said, it just came natural. I thought that was just a quick thought, go over him. So he did. Emotional. Barkley has always been known to be an emotional player. I will be honest with you that in practice, I have not seen that emotion at all. I have not. He's been very workmanlike as to how he's done things. When I brought up to Barkley Sunday about the first touchdown, that's when I saw that emotion come out. They told me he was looking for his parents
And he was just so overcome by scoring his first ever Beaver Stadium touchdowns. He says something he dreamed about. And to have it happen at that moment, he said it was just it kind of the emotion washed over him. I'm telling you these stories in part because obviously a lot of people want to get to know him and they haven't had a chance to really talk with him yet or hear from him. So I just thought I would lay part of the conversation. He and I probably talked for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes on Sunday. Next half hour, Dan Duggan, NJ.com. What is going on at Rutgers? He'll attempt to tell us on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle for joining us today with his perspective. Solid as always.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes.
This is one of the worst weather-related disasters in the history of the state of Utah.